Amen. Good morning to everyone. We've been talking the last number of weeks about being able to hear the voice of God. In fact, we started out, I believe, the series of, and we called it Flipping the Switch. And the idea is that coming to a place of understanding that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Not human beings having some spiritual events happen once in a while. But the idea is we are spiritual. The idea is that our lives should be focused on the spiritual. And yes, we're having a human experience. We're in these body suits, these physical tents right now. But one day, we won't be. But we are eternal in nature. We are spiritual in nature. And with that, I believe that God, our Creator, wants to have a relationship with us. And not some kind of long-distance, weird kind of relationship where, yeah, He created us, dumped us here on the earth, and then went off kind of to do His thing in the rest of the universe. But rather, that He wants to daily commune with you and I. And so that's what we've been talking about the last number of weeks. So if you haven't been part of the series, I encourage you to go back, have a look. It's available as a podcast. It's on YouTube, Facebook. Again, if you need to know how to get to that, happy to help you. Just ask any of the staff. But what I want to do to begin with, I want to look at one Old Testament scripture, and then we're going to spend our time in the New Testament today. So Exodus 33, verse 11. Just to give you a little background before they put it up, you've got... Moses had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land. All right, it was only supposed to take about 40 days, ended up taking 40 years because of rebellion on their part. But during that time, God still did some amazing things, all right? And so He would meet with Moses and talk with him. And I just want to read a scripture that talks about that. Exodus 33, 11. And it says this, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." So we see the Lord speaking to Moses face to face, as with a friend. How many people would like to have a conversation with Jesus like that? Amen? Absolutely. Well, here's the thing, and I'm just going to tell you this. The Bible says that the new covenant is a better covenant based on better promises. And it hadn't happened yet when this scripture that I just read happened. In other words, this was under the old covenant. This was under the law, you know, where you had to do all these different regulatory things to try to approach God. And yet it says that God spoke with Moses face to face, as with a friend. I wonder whether at times when we pray that we don't talk to God face to face. That's really not what we're doing. We're not really looking to just commune with Him, but we're looking for something, right? How many people have a prayer list? You know what I'm talking about. You know, and I want to say right up front, there's nothing wrong with having a prayer list, all right? But I just want you to hear me out with this. You know, we go to God and we're like, look, I got kids, please help, you know, little Johnny and little Sarah, you know, to keep following You. You know, pray for my job, you know, you might pray for a few other people. You're praying for this, praying for that. Those are all good things, right? We have our needs. We should bring them to God. Can you say amen to that? All right, we should. But here's the question. Do we ever go to Jesus just to be with Jesus? Now, here's the thing that you got to do then. If you want to do that, you've got to set the list aside sometimes. All right? So it's good to have a list. It's good to say, Lord, I've got this need. But I got some news for you. The Bible says that before you bring your request to God, He knows about it. And so if you really believe that, then at times, I encourage you to set that aside. So instead of seeking His hand of provision, His hand, begin to seek His face. And what does that mean? It means that you just want to hang out with Him. You don't want anything from Him. You just want to be in His presence. Now, if we go on and read these different accounts of Moses meeting with God, the Bible says that when he left, he had to put a veil over his face because his face shone so much because of the presence of God. You know, and the point for us today is this, that when you and I just go into the presence of God just to be with Him, just to commune with Him, you'll never leave the same. Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned this with my own family, that when my kids would come to me and all they wanted was something, that would irritate me. Do I have any parents that were irritated at some point in their lives by that? Okay, thank you for being honest with me. I'm not the only one. And so my one son, John, and yes, I'll name him. He was the guy that did the announcements here. He was good at it. So he learned that I was aggravated if he would just come and say, Dad, I need this or I need that. So here's what he would do. He'd say, hey, Dad, how you doing today? You're a cool dad. You know, you're like the best dad in the whole world. And you know what happens is, after he does that a few times and then he asks for something, you know he's just scamming you, right? All right, well, here's the thing. Do you know that God knows you're scamming him? Jesus, you're just so awesome. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for all that you do in my life. You know, and Jesus is like, okay, what do you want? You know what I'm saying? If you got that attitude, he already knows. And here's the thing. You need to go to him at times and just honor him for who he is. In other words, you don't want anything from him. You just want him, if you get what I'm saying. Not his stuff, not his provision, not anything. You just want to experience him for who he is. A loving, caring, compassionate father that you don't want anything from, and he doesn't want anything from you. You get what I'm saying? In other words, you're just communing together. And Moses understood that. There were times where he did do instruction. In fact, he built the tabernacle. He orchestrated, wrote down the Ten Commandments. God instructed him to do things, but it wasn't all about that. There were times where they were just together and would commune together. So I encourage you, if you want to hear from God more, then don't just go to him wanting stuff. In other words, that's the only time you go to him. Set the list aside from time to time and just seek his face. Amen? You know, if you seek his face, the hand of provision will always be there. You know, when my kids just were my kids and just loved on me and we walked together, if I saw that they had a need, you know what I did? I made sure that need was met. They didn't have to ask for it. In fact, really, those closest to us shouldn't have to ask. We should be attentive enough to be aware of it. That's our Father. He's attentive. He loves us. And so, listen, when you go to him, just experience his presence, all right? In his presence, you will hear his voice, all right? Sometimes we're like, God, I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear from you for this or for that. Listen, stop. Take a deep breath and say, Lord, I just want to experience you. And then out of that, he will speak to you, amen? All right, so that's kind of our foundation for this morning. So what I want to do now is go to the New Testament. I want to look at two individuals just briefly at how God spoke to them. Because here's what I found out. That if God is going to speak to you, we have to respond. And when we look at these two individuals, every time that God spoke to them, they responded in a different way. And so I don't want you to say, okay, when God speaks to me, I have to do what this person did or that person. No, you need to respond as the Lord leads you to. But the point is, there's still a response involved. So I hope this helps you a little bit, all right? So we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 16. I'm just going to, kind of paraphrase it. We're going to read in 17 in a moment. But in Matthew 16, Jesus is going to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? He just, just puts out, if you notice, Jesus asks his disciples a lot of questions. And I have found that when God speaks to me, often he asks a question. Now, is it because God is ignorant and doesn't know the answer? No, he absolutely knows. But sometimes it's to stimulate you and I to say, oh, I never thought about that. And so in this case, it's like that, all right? Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? And so some of those disciples respond, well, some say you're John the Baptist because John had already been killed. So like he'd come back from the dead. You know, you're John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. And I'm sure everybody's kind of looking around and Jesus is like, okay, that's kind of weird. Then he says, but now who do you say that I am? See, his first question was, who do people say that I am? But now he's saying to the disciples, who do you say? Now, I don't know whether he was pointing or looking at Peter. I have no idea. But Peter pipes up. And Peter says, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon that truth, and again, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but upon that rock, that truth, the kingdom will be established. And Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Wow. Can you imagine Peter? He's like, oh, man, look at that. Look at that. It's been revealed to me. Look at me. I heard from the Father, right? So then Jesus goes on, the very next line goes on, and he begins to explain what the Son of Man or the Son of God was going to do, that he was going to be crucified, dead and buried, and come back to life again in 3 days. Now Peter, who had just had this revelation of who Jesus was, takes Jesus aside and says, no, this shall not be. Do you know what Jesus says to him? Get behind me, Satan. Now, you got to picture this. Just a couple lines before, a couple minutes before, God had spoken to Peter and revealed something to him. And then 2 minutes later, Peter is now a voice of Satan. You get what I'm saying? Point for you and I, you can hear from Jesus at one moment. That doesn't mean that every thought you think is Jesus. Please. This is really, really, really important. I've met so many people over the years, especially people who, you know, believe they hear from God. And I want everyone here to believe they hear from God. But here's the thing. They say something that's of the Spirit of God, and it's awesome. And then an hour later, a week later, a month later, they hear something else, and they say, this is God. And I'm like, well, hold it. Time out. Excuse me. That doesn't line up with God's Word. And here's the thing. We can all be duped. There are false voices in the world. I don't say that to scare you, but rather to caution you to say, look it, we need to know what the Spirit of our Father's voice sounds like compared to all the other voices that are around us, all right? And so just be aware of that in your walk with the Lord. And so Jesus then goes on, and at the very end of Matthew, he talks about this, and he makes a statement. He says, then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What was Jesus really talking about there? He's saying, look at, and this is right after Peter gets rebuked, all right? Here's what he's saying to Peter and the rest of the disciples and us who are his disciples today. Look at, you've got to deny your flesh. You've got to deny those false voices that are in your life. You've got to deny the things you want to do, especially when it doesn't line up with the Word, and follow my voice. Now, do you think Peter got that figured out at this point? What do you think? He didn't. So here's what Jesus goes on and says. He says, assuredly, some of you standing here shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. So I want to pick up now in chapter 17. You might say, well, okay, why did I do 16? Here's the thing. When the Bible was originally written, it was letters. There was no chapters. There were no verses. That was put in by man to help you and I find it. And I thank Jesus for that, all right? Because all of a sudden we'd be flipping through these long scrolls trying to find, you know, where certain things are. So it's good, but it's bad. Here, let me explain. It's good to help you and I find the verses, but what it does is it puts these divisions in. So I don't know about you, but I remember as a younger person reading the Bible, I'd read like a chapter a night. How many people have read, you know, the Bible by chapter, right? All right, can you see the danger in that? Because if it was man that put the chapters in, could it be that they put it right in the middle to split an event apart maybe? And so what I've learned to do, I read thought to thought now. So in other words, I'll read along until I feel that I'm done with what God wants to say to me, and then I stop, kind of put a little bookmark in there, and I'm like, okay, I'll start reading. And sometimes it's right in the middle of a chapter. So I can't encourage you enough. Please, don't just when the chapter ends say, oh, I guess that's the end of that thought. Because a day later, a week later, you start reading, you don't see the continuity. And so that's what I want you to see here. Here's Jesus, you know, Peter has his revelation, then he gets rebuked, and then here's what happens. We have what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. And it happened just a few days after that event. They're connected, all right? So picture where Peter's at, all right? What's happened, and what God does now. All right, so Matthew 17, they're going to put this up on the screen, beginning at verse 1. Now after 6 days, 6 days after what I've just talked about, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter, here's Peter again, answered or piped up and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So here's Peter again, right? He gets brought in, you know, Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain. Jesus is transfigured. Can you imagine? You know, he literally becomes all shiny and literally in a glorified body. What an experience, right? You know, and the disciples are there and they see it. And Peter then sees that Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah. Why them? Well, here's the thing. They represented the old covenant. They represented the law and the prophets. Moses represented the law. and Elijah was the head over the prophets. So Old Testament, and talking about his completion. You see, Jesus is what? The completion of the Old Covenant, or the finishing of it. And so they're talking together. And so what does Peter surmise, though? Peter sees these three glowing people, right? You know, it's, Jesus and Moses and Elijah says, hey, let's just build three permanent buildings here. Let's make this a place where we can come and have pilgrimages and see, right? And so what does God do from the clouds? Cloud comes down, right? And what does God say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then what was the final couple of words? Hear him. Didn't say hear them. Didn't say hear all three of them. Said listen to his voice and his voice above all other voices. That's really what was being said there. And so Peter was still learning the lesson, wasn't he? He was still thinking that, you know, that Jesus is just kind of here and there's other people equal to him. And yet he had the revelation that he was the Son of the living God. Just because we have a revelation doesn't mean we fully get it. God can show you something in your spirit, but has your mind comprehended what's going on? And it takes time sometimes. And listen, between you and me, we don't always like what the voice of God says. If you've been walking with Jesus long enough, you're going to actually hear him say no sometimes. How many people like to hear people tell you no, that you can't do something? Especially if you're an adult. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. You know, I'm the kind of person, I set course, and I'm doing this, come hell or high water kind of thing. Anybody like that? You know, am I the only one like that? No, thank you for being honest. A couple of you. You guys are in church. Come on. Come on. Just saying. But the point is that we sometimes have to hear no. Why? Because God's voice knows everything. God knows everything. He knows our present, our past, and yes, even our future. And it's just so important for our hearts to recognize that and realize that and submit to his voice. Amen. And we're going to talk about the different ways you can hear his voice in a few moments. But let's go on now. So here he has, you know, God speaks. Now, here's the thing. His voice, God's voice, is above all voices. So now, here we have Peter. I want to show you a verse, a couple verses, 35 years later. All right? And it's in 2 Peter. It's near the end of Peter's life. In fact, he literally says this. He says, I'm going to be laying aside my earthly tent soon. What does he mean by that? His physical body, meaning he's physically going to die. Going to be laying it aside. And basically he says, look, I've got some really important things that I want to tell you, knowing I'm going to be departing. Now listen, there's not a person here. If you had an expiry date on your life, let's say this coming Tuesday, and I pray nobody has that, all right? But let's say Tuesday. Would you just like go home and sit on your couch or whatever and say, well, c'est la vie, I guess that's it. No, you know what you'd be doing? You'd be calling people, you'd be writing letters, you'd be getting your will in order, you'd be giving stuff away, you'd be doing whatever you needed to do what? Get your life in order, and to make sure that you've said what you needed to say to everybody. Well, that's where Peter was. God had spoken to him and said, look, it's time. I'm going to bring you home. And so he's giving these final instructions. And do you know what he talks about? One of the things he talks about is that 35 years earlier, that Mount of Transfiguration experience. So let's see what he has to say about that. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. So here he is. He says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Wow. 35 years later, he's still talking about that experience of hearing the voice of God. That's pretty important. Let me tell you something. I've heard the voice of God, you know, that external kind of voice, probably about 5 times in my life. And I can remember the place. I can remember the date. I can remember where I was. I can remember how bright it was. You know, where I can remember every detail. Why? Because it was such a moment where God spoke. And the thing is, God wants to provide that for each and every one of us. And they become mile markers in our lives. Now, you'll notice that here it mentions the word voice, speaking of the voice of the Lord, a couple of times. Do you know what the word voice translated in Greek is? what the word is? You're going to love this. You'll never forget this. You know, sometimes I give you weird Greek words, right? You're never going to forget this. It's the word phone, P-H-O-N-E. Voice, phone. I love Alexander Graham Bell saying, let's call it the telephone so we can talk over long distances and be able to hear the other person's voice clearly. So he literally took the Greek word for voice. And in our case here, the voice of the Lord. That's how clearly God wants to speak to you and I, just like you're on a good telephone, a good landline, not a crappy cell phone that's cutting in and out, all right? You know, I swear, aren't the phones getting worse now than they used to be? I remember when I first had a cell phone, man, crystal clear. Now it's like, blah, 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 yeah. I'm talking about a good landline where, you know, copper wires and they're soldered in there and you can hear their voice crisp. You can hear the other person breathing on the other end, you know what I'm saying? And they're not a heavy breather, you get what I'm saying? Not some psycho. Just like, you just hear them breathing naturally, all right? And so the point is, that's what the word voice means, phone. Wow, you know, be able to hear God clearly. That's what God wants to do. He wants to speak to us clearly. So here's Peter saying, look, just like that experience, I heard the voice of God on that mountain. And here's the thing. Why did he talk about that? Because it made such a profound difference in his life. And the thing is, when you hear from God, it changes you. It changes you. And it changes you for good. Even if it's a no, you need to understand it. Even if it's a no, then it will direct your life in the direction God wants if you're obedient to that. But more than often, it's do this or do that. God wants to direct you in life. But no is direction. So just be aware of that, all right? All right, so then Peter goes on, and I want you to see this because this is really important. In 2 Peter, same set of verse, but verse 19, all right? So just the next verse. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy people of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Can you go back to verse 19 for a minute? So we have the prophetic word confirmed. What does that mean? Here's the thing. I said over the last couple of weeks that you and I are a prophetic people. In other words, we have the ability to hear from God and it's a foretelling or a forthtelling. And again, in the last couple of weeks, I talked about that. You can look back on that. But the point is that God will reveal things that you can't figure out on your own in the natural. You didn't discern it or try to work it out. God just showed it to you. So look at this. It's confirmed, which you do well to heed. In other words, as God speaks, you need to believe that it's for you to help you, all right? And then it says, as a light that shines in a dark place. This particular scripture can be interpreted two different ways, all right? One way is this, that you and I are light in a dark world. Can you say amen to that, all right? We are called to be a light. In other words, to be a prophetic voice to this dark world to lead people to Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And that's true. And this scripture can be interpreted that way, no problem at all. But it can also be interpreted a different way. And I think Peter meant it the way I'm going to talk about right now. That you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Okay. Where does Jesus live right now? Do you guys know? Anybody know? He lives in your heart, right? Okay. So there's only light there, right? Where Jesus is only light. He doesn't share any darkness at all. So where's any darkness in our lives? Does anybody know? The first group got it right this morning. They were a bright group. Are you guys as bright? Where's any darkness in our lives? Does anybody know? Thank you. In our minds. In other words, we still got areas that are unredeemed, imperfect. You know, we're still doing our own thing up here, all right? Which is far different than where Jesus lives. And so look at this scripture now. Could it mean this? That as God's voice speaks to us, what's he saying? Do well to heed as a what? Light that shines in a dark place. In other words, as God speaks to us, what's happening is like this giant searchlight that's going through our very soul saying, look, this is still dark here. This is wrong thinking over here. This is wrong attitude here. This is a wrong, you shouldn't do that over here. Shouldn't be talking that way. In other words, that this prophetic voice, as we hear from God, is to help us grow in Him. It changes our insides, all right? And so there it is, a light that shines in a dark place, and I love this, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. There's other scripture that says that the morning star represents Jesus. And so here's the thing, in those dark areas that the light of Jesus begins to illuminate. Wow. So that can mean for the world, okay? You know, that first way of interpreting it. But how about this? That as God speaks to you and I, instead of their dark areas in our lives, they are now filled with the light of Jesus. And we're changed because of it. What did I say earlier? When you come into the presence of the Lord and you commune with Him, you'll never leave the same. Well, what do I mean by that? It means that your thinkings, your attitudes, your habits get changed because of His presence. Amen? And so go on to the next couple of verses. And then it goes on. And knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Meaning this isn't natural. This is supernatural. This is Jesus revealing something to you that you wouldn't figure out on your own, all right? And then, for prophecy never came by the will of man. But look at this. But by holy people of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Any holy people here? I know you. Put your hands up if you know Jesus is Lord and Savior. The Bible declares that you are holy and righteous in His sight. Now, I know for some of you, especially with some religious background, you're like, no. That's only certain saints or certain people. Listen, God declares you holy and righteous because of the blood of Jesus. If you know Him personally as Lord and Savior, that's the way it is. He declares you that way. And so that's why you can say that your heart is perfect. Your mind, not so much so. It needs some work. And I say that of me, all right? I'm not pointing at anybody here. I need, talk to Sandra. She'll tell you, oh yeah, he's got some areas. He needs help, all right? And so we all have areas that we need help in, amen? Okay. And so that's just important for you to realize that. Okay. So here's the point. I bring all this up. Peter, I believe, by the end of his life, got the memo that God's voice is the most important voice to listen to, all right? Now, that doesn't exclude there's other voices in your life. Not every other voice is the devil, all right? You know, in fact, we're to be what? A voice to the people around us, and I hope we're not devil voices, right? The voice of Jesus, the voice of encouragement, the voice to help people, so we need to be that, all right? But the thing is that the voice of Jesus in our lives needs to be at the top as far as priority. You don't want to be building tabernacles to other voices in your life that are equal to Jesus, all right? I'm saying that, you know, spiritually speaking. We are to make sure that we're only honoring the voice of God above every other voice. Okay, want to move on now. Just two other things to look at here, and then we'll bring this to a close. In the book of Revelations, chapter 1, we see God speaking to John. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to worry so much about what John's instructed to do, but rather how John responds to the voice. Okay? That's what you're looking for here as we read this, all right? So Revelations 1, beginning at verse 10, says this, "On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." Verse 12, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest." So a couple things to note. John was what? In the Spirit. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that if you want to hear the voice of God, you've got to prepare for it. My point being that if you want to carry on doing life as you are now and you expect you're going to hear more from Jesus, you're probably not going to, all right? You've got to make room for Him. You got to give Him space. And so here's John in the Spirit. What does that mean? He's spending time seeking the face of God. That's what he was doing, all right? That's what it means to be in the Spirit. There's nothing weird about it, all right? If he had a cell phone, he set it aside. If he had a list of things that he was going to pray for, he set that aside. You get what I'm saying? If he had people that were around him, he'd say, hey, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. You know, just give me an hour, right? So in other words, you got to take that space to do that. You got to make room for God to speak. Now, even though he did that, God spoke. Where was God's voice coming from? Where was it? Anybody know? We read it. It was behind him. So it wasn't like he was in the Spirit, he's lined up, everything's great, and Jesus just came to him like this. It literally said he had to turn around. His voice sounded like a trumpet. And it even says again, twice it says, and he turned. You know what the word turn in the original language really means? It means repent. The same word for repent means to turn and go in a different direction. My point being that there are times in our lives that we could be seeking God, but we're still seeking Him in the wrong direction. We're still going, our focus and direction isn't right, and we still may have to repent and turn. You hear what I'm saying? There are times that we have to do that. And are you willing to do that? Or is the trumpet voice of God enough? You're in the Spirit and God says something, but you can't really hear it because you're not facing, but oh man, I just felt the presence of Jesus, which is wonderful. But what's the next step? Wouldn't you want to hear what he has to say? Yeah. And that may mean that we have to turn. May mean physically turn in the case here, but I'm actually talking about spiritually turn. That maybe we have to change our attitude, turn in a different direction, say, Lord, I'm making the decision to consciously turn to hear you. Are you willing to do that? Or do you come to God on your terms? How's that working out for you? Just wondering. You want to go to God with all the humility that you can muster. And if he speaks from behind you or from over here or over there, then he's not going to change. You need to turn to him. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. All right. So then that's the one account of John. Now, God speaks to John another time in the book of Revelation. And it's different. Now, why is that? It's so you and I don't get these weird patterns, all right? So if it was only one thing, in other words, that every time God spoke, everyone turned around, every time that you think you hear God, you'd be like, okay, I'm here, right? You turn around because you think that's what you got to do. That's not why I'm bringing up these things. I'm actually showing you all the different ways that God speaks and different ways we respond because God loves you personally. And so your response is going to be tailor-fit to you and where you are in your walk, all right? And so let's just look at this. Revelations 4, verses 1 and 2. So another account, a couple chapters after what we just read. And this is still John. After this I, meaning John, looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me was like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne of heaven with someone sitting on it. Who's the someone? Everyone know who? Jesus, okay? That's kind of like standard answer in church, all right? You know, Jesus, he was the one sitting there. But what did John have to do here in this case? This time, there was a door, and it said, come up here. So literally that door means portal in the original Greek, all right? So literally God's saying, look, for you to hear what I've got to say, for you to see what I've got to say, you've got to step towards me and step through into my presence. So again, in that case, he didn't turn around, right? He's just looking forward, saw the door, and the Lord's saying, step up and go through the door. So in each case, it was different. And that's important. So we just need to recognize there are three different things. Now, listen, we're going to do this out of order, guys, at the back. So let's bring up the three points just so that we can bring this together. And then I'm going to conclude with the different ways we can hear from God. So if we want to hear the voice of the Lord, first of all, we need to do what? So if you're taking pictures, this is your picture moment. We need to acknowledge his voice as the one true voice. And the scripture references are there. That's the whole deal with Peter, all right, in the Mount of Transfiguration. And then our next point, we looked at John. We need to sometimes turn around, change our focus and direction to hear his voice, all right? And the scripture's from Revelations. And then finally, we need to step up and go through the open door to his voice. And that's from Revelations 4. And again, there's lots of other examples in the Bible, but I give these to you to say, look it, you got to respond to his voice. You got to be, first of all, in the Spirit. You got to be seeking him. And then when he does speak, to be ready to respond as you believe God is showing you, all right? Whether that's through a door, turning around, blocking out all the other voices, whatever it might be, God's asking you to do your part so you can hear him clearly on the phone, so you can hear his voice, all right? How many people want to hear him clearly on the phone, all right? You really do. All right, so how are the different ways that God speaks? And I want to conclude the message with this because you don't always hear a voice. I wish it was clear like a telephone call every single time. How many people would like that? You get a phone call, and it's like the White House, they got like the red phone, right? That's linked between Russia and the U.S., at least it was for years. How would you like to have one of those like linked to heaven? And when the red phone rings, you know it's Jesus. It's like, Jesus, I'm here. What do you need? And you just have that crystal clear. How many people would love to have that, right? I know I would. Well, it just doesn't work out that way, all right? So let me just show you, just in conclusion, a couple of ways that God speaks. So you guys want to put that up. How does the Lord speak to us? Well, obviously, through Scripture. I can't encourage you enough. The language of the Spirit is the Word of God. You got to be reading God's Word, all right? Specifically, the New Testament to hear. Listen, all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is talking. His voice is speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples. Any disciples here? So listen to me. He's speaking. Literally, you can read his words and let him speak. And you literally, here's how I pray when I read the Gospels. Jesus, whatever you're saying here, tell me what you want me to hear. And what I find is certain parts of what he says just like leaps out at the page. It's the only way I can describe it. And it's like, wow, that's a word for me for that moment. And I'll tell you, if I read that scripture a week later, it doesn't do that. No, it's a different part then. That's God speaking. So God speaks through his word. I can't encourage you enough. There's no cliff notes on this. There's no shortcuts in this. This isn't a college course that you just got to get through and get by. It doesn't work that way. You got to just soak it in. And that takes time. To be in the Spirit involves time, all right? So that's the main thing, all right? Inner voice. Sometimes it's not like an external voice where it's like, hey, you hear a trumpet and you're like turning around to hear who's talking. Sometimes it's just like an inner, still small voice where it's like, do this, don't do this, all right? And after a while, you learn which voice is the Spirit of God, and as you listen and you see the fruit of it, you know that's the Spirit of God speaking. And I'll note this, anytime God speaks to you, it will never be contrary to God's word. Ever, ever, ever. Because God's a man, not a man that he can lie. So it always is the same, all right? His word. So actually, the more scripture you understand and it's part of you, the more God can speak to you in deeper terms, all right? All right, images, pictures. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes God doesn't say anything, but I just have a picture maybe of a circumstance or a situation from my own life maybe, or someone else maybe I'm praying for. Well, that's God speaking. You know, there's a saying, a picture's worth, what, 1,000 words, right? And so sometimes you can discern a lot through just an image, all right? Another way is emotions. Now, this is tricky. How many people here have emotions? All right, well, here's the thing. There are times where God will use emotions, but not your emotions. So in other words, let's say you're praying for somebody and your life is relatively normal and everything's going okay. And all of a sudden, as you're praying for that person, you just feel real sorrowful, like weeping. You know, maybe start almost crying. And you're like, God, what is this? Listen, that's not you. That's the Spirit of God for whatever you're praying about in the circumstance. And that's okay. Like, don't shrink away from that. But rather than you say, man, is there something bad going on in your life right now? Are you sorrowful? And then all of a sudden the person bursts into tears. Oh, how did you know? And you say, well, Lord, just, you know, I just had this impression of just deep sorrow. And so let's just pray about this. You get what I'm saying? You just have to but here's the thing. It's scary. You got to take that little step of faith. You know what I'm saying? You got to ask the question, hey, something going on. And maybe they say, well, no. I say, okay. You know, you just carry on. But maybe, just maybe, that's the Spirit of God showing you something. Let me tell you something. When you leave those prayer moments, it's an awesome feeling to know that God used you. It's an awesome emotion to experience. Amen? All right. Physical senses is another one where you're maybe talking to someone or praying with them, and all of a sudden, man, for an example, your elbow just starts killing you, and you don't have a problem with your elbow. In other words, it's not like a long-term deal. And just to say to the person, hey, you know, is your elbow bothering you? And like, oh, yeah. How'd you know? Well, I think Jesus just showed me. Let's pray about this. And let me tell you something. If God shows you something and then you pray, listen to me. Stuff happens because God's involved in that, all right? We hear the voice of God for purpose. God does, you know, God wants to commune with us and hang out with us. But listen, when we're ministering to people and he's speaking, it's for a purpose to display his glory to the world. And so when we deny hearing the voice of God, we're missing out on opportunities. Why? You and I are ambassadors to this world. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, and we need all the tools that we can use, right? All the fruits, all the gifts of the Spirit. We need to hear from him to do all that he's called us to do. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So I encourage you, don't so much listen to me, but here's what you need to do. Listen to the voice of God. So when you read your Bible later today or tomorrow morning or whenever you do it, here's what you do. Before you open it, say, Lord, I want to hear from you today. And then begin to open, begin to read, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And listen to me. You pray that prayer, and at the end, maybe you're done. You close, like, oh, man, I didn't hear anything. Listen to me. You've prepared your heart to hear from God through the rest of the day. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, God, I want to hear your voice, and I read, and it's like, okay, you know, close my Bible, put it up. And then later in the day, something happens, and God brings a scripture to remembrance or speaks to me. And I'm like, holy moly, that was Jesus. You get what I'm saying? And so don't put God in a box and say, well, God, you've got to talk to me in this 15-minute block. Don't get like that. Remember, you're the one turning around to hear him. You know what I'm saying? But rather, Lord, I just want to hear from you whenever that is. Read his word, put it in, and then wait, and he will speak. Amen? Let's stand and pray together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many people want to hear God more clearly? If that's you, just slip your hand up in the air. Amen. Amen. All of us, you know, and I pray that people online are doing the same thing. We need to hear from him. Listen to me. If you want to navigate this life, you need the voice of the Spirit of God. You know, God positioning sensor. You need GPS, but the God kind in your life to navigate this life, or you will have a lot of issues. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. And so God wants to speak. He wants to help us. Father, I thank you for every single person here standing in your presence. Lord, I thank you for those that are watching as well, and bless them as well. But Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that this could be a pivotal moment in our lives, a mile marker moment where we've been challenged to hear you more clearly. Just as in a phone call, your voice is to be as clear as a phone, that we can hear you and know what you're saying, not just feelings, and feelings at times you'll speak that way, but Lord God, that we can hear you clearly and concisely for circumstances and situations, both for our own lives and for the lives of those around us. Lord, that we might truly be the prophetic people you've called us to be foretellers and forthtellers of your word, that it will make a difference in this dark world as we're a light for you. And so, Lord, I pray we can be a light to this world, and also that you will be a light in any dark areas inside of us as well. So, Lord God, lead us, guide us, direct us as we continue to seek your face and walk in the Spirit on a daily basis, pursuing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.